Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. I offer myself at the lotus feet of the Source. That is, the source of all sweetness, fragrance and grace, the very embodiment of unconditional boundless love, the soul and goal of Radio Sai, our dearest and most beloved, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Sai Ram, and good morning to all the listeners of Morning Glory. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Thursday morning, January the 9th, 2014. You're tuned to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna, and on the sound console is my colleague, audio engineer, Brother Ganesh. The time right now in Prashanthi Nilayam is 9:40 a.m., and the temperature outside the Prashanthi Digital Studios is 24 degrees Celsius. The Divine Valley is experiencing overnight lows of 18 and daytime highs of 31 Celsius. But it does feel a bit warmer when you're out there in the sun practicing for the big day, which is coming up very soon. Yes, you heard it right. In less than 48 hours from now, the annual sports and cultural meet of the Sai schools, colleges and university will begin at the historic and scenic Sri Sathya Sai Hillview Stadium in Prashanthi Nilayam. On January 11th, 2014, Baba's beloved students from grade 1 to PhD level will offer their love and gratitude to their revered founder Chancellor Baba in the form of march past, drills, gymnastics, acrobatics, dances and much more. In the process, thousands and thousands of spectators in the Sri Sathya Sai Hillview Stadium will witness the discipline, skill, creativity, precision, perfection and love of Sai students in the form of their various presentations. The students, by the way, range in ages from 5 to 25 years and beyond. These are the chosen ones whom Bhagwan referred to as his only property, his dearest students, and how much they value this privilege comes through loud and clear in the hard work they put into making each year's sports day even more spectacular than the previous ones. So starting Saturday early morning, all roads in this part of the world will lead to the Sri Sathya Sai Hillview Stadium for the annual sports and cultural meet of the various Sai schools, the four campuses of the Sai University, the Mirpuri College of Music and the Sai Nursing College attached to our super speciality hospital at Whitefield, Bangalore. It's all so exciting, we just can't wait for Saturday to come. Now on that anticipatory note, let's begin Morning Glory with a prayer for the well-being of all life forms in all the worlds. Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu. Yes, dear Swami, we pray that all the beings in all the worlds be happy. Please let there be harmony, peace and love among families, at workplaces, among nations and across all inhabitants of our planet. May the galaxies spin in harmony. Let divine joy flow through every heart to fill the universe with positive, happy vibes. And to maintain that happiness quotient today on Morning Glory. Coming up, under Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, a tete-a-tete with three sisters from Baba's Anandpur College. One of them, Indra Mansa, is a recipient of exceptional grace from Bhagwan Baba since July of 2013. This interview must not be missed and it is scheduled at the bottom of the hour. But before that, our feature presentation right here, right now is part one of our most recent Trysts with Divinity interview that is worth repeating on Morning Glory. Now, this is a conversation with Mr. Nagesh Thakappa, the state president of the Karnataka chapter of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization. Mr. Thakappa's story is exceptional for a number of reasons which you will discover for yourself once you hear it. And here it is for your listening pleasure.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity. Stories of individuals whose lives have been touched and transformed by the love of Bhagwan Baba. And under the spotlight today is Mr. Nagesh Thakappa of Bangalore, India. Mr. Thakappa is the state president of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization in the South Indian state of Karnataka. This is a three-part interview, and dear listeners, you must catch all three parts as it carries amazing insights and life lessons for all of us. This interview was recorded at the Radio Sai Studios in Prashanthinilayam on October 14, 2013. Over now to part one of Mr. Nagesh Thakappa's conversation with Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity, a series of conversations with individuals whose lives have been touched and transformed by Bhagwan Baba. Today we are honored to have Mr. Nagesh Thakappa with us. Originally from Goa, several generations ago, Mr. Thakappa's ancestors migrated to North Kannada district of Karnataka and settled at Sirsi. Devotees of Lord Sri Dattatreya, his grandfather established the Sri Gopal Krishna Swami temple there 125 years ago. Then, in 1968, the turning point for this devout family came when Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba visited Sirsi. Led by their mother, the entire family recognized their Lord Dattatreya as a living deity in the person of the young holy man in the bright robe and a crown of dark hair. At that time, Mr. Thakappa was just 18 years old. Soon, he finished his civil engineering and for a while he pursued a successful career as an engineer, and while doing so, he also started to assist in the family spice business, taking it to a new level of success. But his life's most memorable moment awaited in the wings of time. It was in January 1988 that Bhagwan Baba nominated him as the state president of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization of the state of Karnataka, whose capital city Bangalore has played a key role in the Sai mission. At the age of 38, Mr. Thakappa became the youngest state president of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization in India, and today he continues to serve in that capacity, making him one of the longest serving state presidents in the Sai organization. Currently, Mr. Thakappa resides in Whitefield, Bangalore along with his wife Sheetal, and both his adult sons are Sai school alumni from Puttaparthi. Sai Ram, Mr. Thakappa, and a very warm welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, sister.
So let's begin with that moment in 1968. You were 18 years old and you had your first darshan of Baba. Baba was only 42 at that time. What do you recall of that moment?
Before I mention about my first darshan of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, I would like to mention about Bhagwan's visit to North Karnataka. A month before I had my first darshan. It was October 1968. It was the good fortune of thousands and thousands of people in North Karnataka that Bhagwan undertook a 10-day-old tour of four North Karnataka districts of Dharwar, North Kannada, Bijapur and Belgaum. Bhagwan came to Dharwar when thousands of devotees visited and had his darshan. My mother was fortunate that she had the first darshan at Dharwar. She was the first member of our family to have Bhagwan's darshan. On 23rd October 1968, Bhagwan started on the tour And he visited North Kanara district. It is a forest district, hilly district. And that was the only visit of Bhagwan in his physical form.
To that region?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Bhagwan started in the morning from Dharwar. On way, he was stopping all along. He came to my native place of Sirsi. I must mention here, when he reached Sirsi, it was around 11 a.m. About 4 to 5,000 people in that small town were waiting for Bhagwan, and it was a very hot sun. And when Swami saw thousands of people sitting in the hot sun, he was moved. He straight away went up on the stage. And normally Bhagwan would start with his divine discourse and then end with the bhajan. That particular day, Bhagwan said that I will start with the bhajan. He sang a beautiful bhajan. And suddenly at the end of the bhajan, there was a huge cloud and the atmosphere became so cool. And Bhagwan said, see, by chanting the name of the Lord for just 5 minutes, so much of pleasantness and happiness comes in your life. If you sing bhajans all your life, you can imagine what will happen. That was the first message in my district which Bhagwan gave. On way to Karwar, that was the second scheduled meeting of Bhagwan. At that particular point of time in Karwar, the deputy commissioner was one Mr. M.K. Venkateshan. He later on became the chief secretary of government of Karnataka, and he was also a member of Sri Satya Sai Trust Karnataka. And he had made all the arrangements in Karwar. Before going to Karwar, Swami made an unscheduled stop at a devotee's house in a small village called Avarsa. That house belonged to one Mr. Vishwanath Shetia, an ardent devotee of Bhagwan, who later on became my father-in-law. Swami went to that house and spent some time where my wife, at that time was only 13 years old, blessed them. And because of their prayers, an unscheduled meeting Swami attended and gave a divine discourse in that small village. So, in short, during that particular visit, there was a turning point in the lives of thousands of devotees in the four districts, you know, which people have never looked back. And even today, in Satya Sai organizations, North Kanara, South Kanara, Belgaum, Dharwad are very active districts. Even today, there are thousands and thousands, more and more devotees are there. And Swami spent a lot of time in Dharwar. He had a number of occasions when he visited Dharwar. And in Karwar, see, though Swami was not very fluent in talking Kannada, but he was talking very beautiful Kannada. We all still distinctly remember what he said on that beach in Karwar. When he went up and there were thousands of devotees gathered, Swami said, Vandu kadege jalasagara, vandu kadege janasagara, adara madhyadalli adhyatmika rasasagara. That's what he said. That means, one place there is a jalasagara, the ocean of water. Then one side the ocean of people because of the Karwar town. And in the center is this spiritual sagara, ocean. You
ocean
know.
Of
yeah, is a nectar
of spirituality.
Spirituality. It's a beautiful talk, divine discourse that Bhagwan gave.
Everything that we spoke was so mellifluous,
yes.
Poetic, oh so beautiful.
Yeah. And I remember my father-in-law, Sri Vishwanath Shetia, telling me, that particular night, Bhagwan stayed in the DC's bungalow. And next day, in the morning at 5:30, both my father-in-law, Sri Vishwanath Shetia, and Mr. Venkateshan were sitting outside Swami's door and chanting Omkaram. And Swami suddenly opened the door and came only in his, without his robe.
In his dhoti.
Only in his dhoti. And I remember my father-in-law telling me that they saw Shankha and Chakra on his chest.
Oh, those are the signs of Vishnu.
Signs of Vishnu they saw.
Shankha is the conch,
yes.
And Chakra is the disc,
yes.
The divine disc.
Yes.
It's a symbol of
yes,
Vishnu.
Symbol. So that was a beautiful moment for them.
And Swami was just 42 at that time.
Yeah, that's only 42. Of course, I went to Parthi a month later in November 1968. I had come down to my native place for the vacation after the first semester exam. Now here I would like to mention that we heard about Baba in 1966 for the first time.
Oh.
And I was at that time in my 11th standard, SSLC, you know. And a second cousin of mine used to go to Baba and he used to tell us. And we had heard about Swami. And in fact, I had a photo of Bhagwan Baba, young Baba, sitting, you know, beautiful robe with Abhaya Asta and with that garland. And it was there in my room. At that particular time, my father was suffering from a disease and he was admitted to Mumbai Hospital, Bombay Hospital in Mumbai. He was seriously ill. And my cousin brother asked Baba. He said, "Swami, my uncle is not well." Swami only said, "Tell them not to worry, I'll take care." So we were under the impression that Baba is taking care of that and he will be cured. But unfortunately for us, he passed away in February 66. And later on, days passed because ours was a family, joint family. My mother at that particular time was only 36 years old. I was 16. And four younger brothers and one sister. You can imagine what kind of a responsibility that we had. And we were worried why whatever Swami said he will take care and all that did not come true. We didn't know the correct meaning. So in 68, when I had come down for my vacation, for the summer
first
vacation,
time, yeah.
And my mother already had the darshan, as I mentioned, my mother broached the idea that let us go to Parthi. So by the time 2 years I studied in Mumbai, because of the last wishes of my father, I was a student of the Wilson College in Mumbai.
Your father was a lawyer, right?
He was a lawyer. He studied in Mumbai. He did his law in Mumbai. But because of the circumstances, he had to come down to the family business because his uncle passed away and he had to shoulder that family responsibility.
Everything was a joint business.
Yes. And somehow I was not keen. You see, once you go into an engineering college and your outlook is different. And I mentioned to my mother, I don't want to go to Puttaparthi. What is there for me to see? I don't want to come. But she was very persuasive. You please come, let us go. Then suddenly a thought occurred to me. People say Baba does a lot of miracles. He does a lot of creation. And a desire appeared within me that I must see my father. Somebody had told me that Baba can make you see people who have passed away. That was the intense desire in my heart. And if at all I came to Parthi, I came only with that desire to see my father. We came in a small group to Parthi. Fortunately, the next morning, Swami called a group of people from my town. He said, anybody, only gents, everybody from that town, whoever is present can come in.
Sirsi.
Sirsi. So the group was there. They told me, you are also from Sirsi and Swami has called you. Why don't you come in? So I also entered. That was my first interview. But just before going to the interview, Swami had come out to give darshan. And there, when I looked at Swami, my heart started beating so fast. You know, I was feeling very tense. He came and he was staring at me. He came and stood right in front of me. He looked into my eyes and said, "You did not want to come, no? Why did you come?" Because the earlier day, what I had spoken about 500 kilometers away, sitting on a dining table in our house, Baba was mentioning to me. So that was my first interaction with Swami.
Scary, was it, for a young boy?
It was scary, yes, it was scary. But once I went inside the interview room, you know, he is full of love.
Love, yeah.
So he made me sit next to him. He was sitting on the chair and I was sitting to the right side. And there was a group of other devotees and they had come with a small child. I would like to mention the first miracle of Swami that I saw. They were praying to Swami to do the ears piercing of for that child. So Swami said, okay, give that child, and he put the child in the lap. He created, and that is the first creation I saw, of two golden rings Swami created. Then he looked at me and asked me in Kannada, he said, if I pierce this into the ears of this child, what will happen? I thought to myself, what kind of a question Swami is asking? But he wouldn't leave. He asked me again. And I mentioned to Swami, Swami, the child will cry, Swami, because of the pain. He said, really? The child will cry? I said, yes, Swami. And suddenly Swami pierced both the rings in 2 years. The child did not even move. Now it was Swami's turn. He looked at me and said, what happened? The child did not cry at all. You know, that was the first miracle I experienced. And then he took me inside. Those days Swami would, you know, stand on the staircase. There was a curtain and we'll stand either below or up. And Swami told me, I know all your problems. You have come with your mother. I will call you tomorrow again with your mother. Do not worry about anything. I am here to take care. So there ended my first interview and we waited.
Were you emotional or something when he said all this?
Not on that day.
Did you believe him when he said, I know all your problems, I will take care of them?
I mean, I was not very convinced.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let us see what is happening.
Okay.
You know,
let the show begin, we'll
let
see
us,
how
yes,
it goes.
Yes, yes, yes. And actually the turning point came next day.
Okay.
Next day he called our family inside.
So that was family means you and mom?
Myself, my mother, my auntie was there, one of my cousin was there. And some people from our town had come with us. We had gone in two cars. So all of them Swami called. And the moment I entered, and we were all sitting, Swami initially gave vibhuti to everybody and started speaking. And suddenly he turned to me and he asked me, where is your father? For a minute I was taken aback because I never expected that question. I didn't answer. He kept repeating, where is your father? Where is your father? And I started crying. I said, I didn't say anything, but somebody from the group wanted to mention Swami, his father. You know. Then Swami asked that man to stop. He just made a sign, you do not speak between us. Then he asked me again, when I did not answer, I went on crying. Swami said, those who have no father, mother, I am their father, I am their mother. And till Swami's last physical presence, he took care of me and my family as the true father. Then he took my mother and me inside. He narrated the entire problem. He said, you have a lot of responsibilities, lot of problems. I will take care. I will be with you all the time. Do not worry. And he created a beautiful ring for my mother, silver ring with Swami's blessings photo on that. And he gave it to her. And he told my mother, do not worry for anything. I am there, I'll take care of your children, I'll take care of their education, I'll take care of they settle down in life, everything I'll take care. And once we came out of the interview, Swami created vibhuti, he rubbed it on my hands and said, you have joined engineering? No, no. And you will do very well now in engineering. Of course, I was a good student right from my school days. But after that vibhuti, you know, what Swami put on my hands and...
So on your right palm?
On my right palm, he just spread it.
Okay.
And said, from now on, you see what happens. And I was totally a rank student. And in the final year, I got the Mysore University Prize and first class with distinction. In my college, I was the only student who got first class with distinction. And the third thing that was the most significant point in my life... Swami suddenly asked me, when is your marriage?
You were so young at that time.
I was only 18.
Yeah.
And I was totally taken aback. Why Swami is asking me about my marriage? He will not leave. He kept on asking me, when is your marriage? When is your marriage? When is your marriage? I mean, just to wriggle out of the situation, I told him, Swami, after I finish my studies. Mm-hmm. The moment I said that, Swami said, surely?
Like,
after you finish your studies, you will marry? I said, yes, Swami. Then Swami said, I'll perform your marriage.
He was extracting your promise.
Yes. He said, I will perform your marriage. And he gave me a promise. Of course, I did not take it very seriously at that point of time. Much later, I came to know from my wife that 2 years prior to that, in 65-66, when they came to Parthi, Swami told her, see, her elder brother is also an engineer. And told her that I'll perform your marriage. Your elder brother is an engineer and your husband also is an engineer. That time I had not even joined engineering. You know, see, this is all preordained and his sankalpa, how it was working. So he promised me that I'll perform your marriage. And then Swami said, there is another interview room. Subsequently, Swami, I've never seen Swami using that room, which is right across Swami's present interview room, you know, the opposite side. Right. And Swami called us there.
Mm-hmm. So at the back of the veranda?
at the back of the
towards
veranda,
the
at the backside gate to the left.
Yes.
Swami would call some people and give interview there. And Swami called us around 11 o'clock. Only myself and my mother. He called and there was one more overseas lady. Swami created a beautiful pendant for her and gave, I saw. And Swami took me alone behind that curtain in that room. And I would say at least 15-20 times he asked me, what do you want, you tell me. You have come to ask me something, you ask me, I will give you. But strangely, that desire to see my father had vanished. You see, actually with that desire I came to Parthi. And probably Swami was hinting at that because he kept on asking me again and again, what do you want? I said, all my life, Swami, I want your grace and blessings. I don't want anything. Because the moment Swami had told me that I will look after you as the father, that desire to see my father had vanished. And then Swami blessed me, gave me a locket and said, don't worry about anything. And we returned. So that was the first, you know, our experience with Bhagwan.
And such a profound one,
yes.
Such grace, so much of abundance of divine grace.
Yes, yes, it was. And without any delay, you know, he was performing the duties of a father. Because subsequently my brothers, one by one, they came to Parthi, they were given interview. In 69, when my mother came with my fourth brother, who is now doctor practicing in Bangalore, Dr. Ganesh, Swami had selected about 8 boys for thread ceremony in the interview room. And my brother was the 9th. And Swami made all of them sit and started the ceremony in the interview room itself. And in the beginning, I'm told Swami created all the 9 threads and gave it to the respective fathers to put it to their respective son.
Hmm.
And told all the respective parents to stand behind the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the father has to put the thread
on the
and
initiate
into Gayatri Mantra. And my brother was standing all alone, not knowing what to do. I must tell you, Swami went and stood behind him.
He was the father.
Yes. Swami stood behind him.
He kept his word.
He kept his word. He put the thread. And one special thing I have experienced, number of children for whom he has done Upanayanam in an individual basis, Swami used to give a special mantra to them with the advice and instruction that they must not tell it to anybody, not even to their wives or parents or brothers or sisters, to anybody. Both my brothers, whose thread ceremony Swami has performed, Swami has given them a mantra. I don't know what mantra was given to them by Swami because they have not told me, nor do we ask. You know, that kind of a grace Swami used to give on children.
I thought it was only about Gayatri Mantra. I did not know there was a special
separate mantra Swami
for each
gave.
Person.
Yes, yes.
Hmm.
I know I have heard this from many boys, but in my own family,
two of
my own brothers have got this privilege of going through this thread ceremony and getting the mantra from Swami.
It must have made such a huge difference in your family and your confidence knowing that Swami was the father now, officially the father.
Yes. Though, of course, when we went back to our native place amongst relatives, there were a lot of criticism we faced. A lot of people who did not know about Swami said what these people are doing. But we are firm. We knew what it was. And true to his word, you know, Swami did not disturb me till 73, till I finished my engineering. Of course, my mother and others were going for darshan and coming back and all that. My next interaction with Swami was only in 1973, mm-hmm. when I passed my engineering.
Okay.
So I passed my engineering. I took up a job with a Goan company. I was working in Mangalore on the Mangalore Chemicals and Fertilizer Project.
You're a civil engineer.
Civil engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And in the between, my in-laws were also going very often. And Swami would tell my father-in-law, hey, Shetya, go and look for some good proposals and bring. I will select one and perform your eldest daughter's marriage. And Swami just picked from his pocket one of the horoscopes which he had carried, you know, and it happened to be mine. So Swami had indicated to him that this is the boy for your eldest daughter. But he has to talk to us and, you know, that all that procedure has to be done. So, Swami...
You had not met your future wife till then?
No,
not known
I had not
her.
Met.
Any?
No. Though both the families belong to North Canara district, in fact, my father-in-law and my maternal uncle were classmates in the school. We had not met. Mm-hmm. I had not seen. I didn't know anything about their family. And Swami performed my youngest brother's thread ceremony and then told my mother, you bring your elder son.
Mm-hmm.
He's past engineering, no? She said, yes, he has completed engineering and working. Okay, let us think about his marriage. Why don't you ask him to come? My mother says, Swami, he will not agree to marry so early. No, no, you leave all that to me. You bring him. And suddenly one day my mother came to Mangalore all the way. I was working there and told me this news that Swami is calling you. I was pretty nervous. And my mother even went to the action of saying, Swami has said, both the families, you come together. He had instructed my in-laws to bring me. But I was very reluctant, you know, to get married because I just started my career. I was working as a probationary engineer on a stipend of only 400 rupees. How can I support my own family, you know? So, after a lot of discussion, my mother told me, she somehow had to take me to Parthi or to Vrindavan. She said, you come and tell Swami, no? See, Swami has told me to bring you. So, you come and tell Swami whatever you wish to tell him. So confident that I can convince Swami, I came. And those days, Swami used to give darshan, you know, in Vrindavan. I don't know whether you must be aware that there was no fixed place for sitting and having darshan.
So under the big tree, you can make a path anywhere.
No, on outside Swami's
residence also.
On both sides, right. The devotees, one side the ladies and one side the gents will sit. And Swami will just walk till the end and then come back and talk to people. Suddenly that evening, when we reached Bangalore and Vrindavan, he saw my mother and said in Kannada, has your son come? And she said, yes, Swami is sitting there. And he looked at me and smiled, oh, good, I'll see you tomorrow. So next morning, he called us for an interview. And Swami knew everything, what was my mindset and what was my thinking. So he did not call my in-laws. They were also sitting in darshan line, but I had really not looked towards my wife. You know, would-be wife. And Swami called us for the interview. And there were two more families. And Swami was talking to them. See, the first time I realized that 5 years my engineering time, when I did not have any physical interaction with Bhagwan, he was protecting me all the time. You know, that realization dawned on me because of an incident, which I'll share with you. One of the boys, who was a student of Swami's institute, wanted to do engineering. And he wanted to join the same engineering college where I had passed out. And Swami was trying to, you know, dissuade him, no, no, don't join and all that. And suddenly he looked at me, asked him, that college is not good. That college has a lot of problems. See, ask him. He came from that college. And that moment I realized what Swami said is true. 5 years he protected me, you know, from getting into any kind of vices, any kind of bad habits, and he brought me out very safely, you know. At the end of the interview, when he sent everybody out, he pulled me inside and said, have you seen the girl? I told him, Swami, I have really not seen the girl, but I don't want to marry Swami. Then he said, no, no, you see, you have to get married, this, I told you. He wouldn't leave. You know how Swami is persuasive nature. I said, Swami, I will marry any girl you tell me. I am at your command. I will do whatever you say. But give me some time, Swami. 2-3 years. I've just started my career. I need some time. Whichever girl you show me, tell me I'll marry, Swami. But give me 2 years. He wouldn't leave me. I won't budge. Then finally he said, let us talk in the evening. So evening he called both the families together in Vrindavan. After Swami was free of all interviews, darshan, everything, only two families were there. And Swami narrated so many humorous anecdotes. He made us so comfortable, both myself and my brother, you know, both of us very young and were laughing so loudly. Then Swami said, don't laugh loudly, people outside will hear and all that, you know. So suddenly he would ask me in between, see, you have to get married, this, that and all. But I would not budge. I would say, Swami, give me 2 years. It went on for a while. And suddenly he became very serious. He looked at me very sternly. See, you listen to me very carefully. Your job is to tell whether you have liked the girl or you are not like the girl. It is for me to decide when you have to get married, now or after 2 years. You leave that to me. You can't decide that. But you have to tell me whether you have liked this girl or you are not like the girl. If you are not like the girl, you say no. It's okay.
He was giving you a choice.
He was giving me a choice. Mm. He would not like to tell me to marry any girl.
Mm. You didn't like.
That probably, you know, I should not tomorrow say that I didn't like because of Swami I married and all that. And that is the first time I looked at my wife and I said, yes, Swami, I will marry. And next moment he told my father-in-law, was standing in a corner, he said, Shetia, you have brought that packet of sugar, no, which is in your pocket. Take it out and distribute to everybody. That also Swami knew. Nobody else knew. And sugar was distributed. And then Swami said, look, next month, that was March 73. This, what happened was in March 73. Sorry, not 73, 74. He said, next month on the Akshaya Tritiya day, 25th April, is your engagement. Now it was my turn to get shocked. Swami, you said you will give 2 years to me. He said, I will decide. He said, I told you I will decide the time frame. So he said, next month is the engagement. You can bring as many people as you want, but only your relatives, no outsiders. So we all came back again on 25th April 1974. And Swami spoke to us for almost 3.5 hours. And that day, Swami made us all sit in the interview room and spoke about Rama, Sita, this, you know, importance of a sacred marriage. He went and, you know, at great length he explained to all of us the significance of marriage. So many things, you know, now we repent that we have not recorded anything because, you know, it was so sudden. And at the end of the interview, Swami created a beautiful Lakshmi medallion. He told my wife to extend her hand and he kept it in that, closed it with her hand, both the hands. Then he told me to keep my hand, one above and one below. Then Swami kept his hand below mine and on top of mine. See, three pairs of hands and in between was that Lakshmi idol. Mm. And he chanted many mantras for almost 2 minutes. You know, he kept chanting. He's saying something and he blessed. Then he gave it to my wife. And suddenly he said, now it is exactly 11 o'clock. Next month, on 18th May, 11 o'clock is your wedding.
Wow, you guys were speeding.
So suddenly everybody looked at their watches. It was exactly 11 o'clock. And my brother had a small camera. He tried to take out some photos and all. It was not working out. He said, wait, I will bring a camera and give you. He went and brought his Polaroid camera. And Swami took our first picture in his camera. It was taken by Swami. I still have that photo.
How precious.
I still have, yeah.
So Swami was the cameraman.
Yes, yes, Swami was the cameraman. Polaroid camera that he brought.
So instantly the picture came out and he showed you.
Came out and he gave it to me. It is with me still. And then he told my brother, you know, he later on became a chartered accountant and Swami told him, you come, you take the photograph. And then Swami came and stood between us, between me and my wife. See, I don't know the significance of this, sister, but during my marriage also, after the marriage, when Swami blessed us, he came and stood between me and my wife. And he told me a very interesting thing. See, I will not separate both of you because I am standing in the middle. See, I am holding both of you together. That's why I am standing in the middle.
He was uniting.
Yes. In both the photographs, at the time of engagement and the time of marriage, which I have, Swami was standing in between us and blessed us. So that was our engagement and Swami distributed tiffin for everybody in the interview room. Today, if I recall what all Swami has done for us, I have no words of gratitude, you know. I cannot repay his grace. That was the engagement and on 18th May 1974 was my marriage.
Again in Whitefield?
Yes, Whitefield. Mm. In the summer course Pendal. Mm. Here I want to mention one thing. That Swami was in Mumbai few days prior to my marriage. Mm-hmm. And suddenly there was an All India strike. The airlines were on strike. The railways were on strike. Everything on strike. Swami could not travel. And believe me, when I heard that Swami traveled all the way from Mumbai to Bangalore just to be present for my marriage, and he traveled in a Fiat car.
And on those roads.
And those roads which are not good. Today,
no
at least.
Highway,
yes,
nothing.
Highway was there, but those highways were.
Like a pothole, yeah, little single, yes, lane roads.
How much trouble he took for us. And all the arrangements were made by Swami.
That's a very long distance to travel.
Yes.
Even in today, Bangalore,
yes,
to Bombay is a very long drive.
Yes, he drove down only for the marriage.
More than 1,000 kilometers in a Fiat car.
Yes, and after he came, he made all the arrangements, including the food arrangement was made and the priest's arrangement, everything. Swami had told us, you all come, you can bring as many people as you want from both sides, but you have to stay in Bangalore. Accommodation arrangement is not there in Vrindavan. So, you stay in Bangalore and come here, and he had taken care of everything. So, that day in the morning, when we went inside Swami's room, he gave us a lot of gifts. See, I would like to mention here, Swami gave me a beautiful plate in which Shirdi Baba and Satya Sai Baba blessings photo is there. And on top of is the Sarvadharma symbol. See, for all you know, the Sarvadharma symbol was released during the 1975 Swami's 50th birthday. But this Swami had given me in 1974 itself. I still have that with that Sarvadharma symbol. And after he gave us a lot of gifts, to my wife he gave a beautiful necklace with SSS, you know. It's a beautiful necklace. And said, see, SSS means Sri Satya Sai. And 11 o'clock, that marriage took place and Swami was present. He gave me a beautiful ring and he gave a beautiful Mangal Sutra to my wife. That Mangal Sutra was unique in many ways. Normally, the Mangal Sutra that Swami created was, you know, half round and one single piece. This Mangal Sutra was in five pieces.
Oh.
There were five pieces.
So, it had five medallions?
Not medallions, you know, I would say one big medallion.
Mm-hmm.
And there were four, two this side and two this side, mm-hmm, small, you know, golden thing, you mm-hmm know.
Like buttons, like
button,
beads.
Beads.
Yeah,
like
golden beads.
Beads. And they were tied by means of a sacred thread.
Yeah.
And Swami told me, when he created, told me to tie it three times. And he explained the significance, how you have to be together in Triloka, Trikala, you know, everything he explained. And he instructed me, see, immediately after you complete 1 year, you get it properly done in a gold chain. See, be very careful, do it. So, immediately that day, after the marriage was over, Swami had arranged lunch for everybody, you know. He made us sit on a platform and he made us serve food. Every minute detail he had taken care, you know. So, if I look back, and my brother who was a student tells me that one of the very few marriages when Swami's 100% participation was there, so much involvement was there, was only in your marriage. An elderly devotee from Bangalore, you know, Dr. Padmanabhan and Mrs. Kamala Padmanabhan,
right.
She one day told me that particular morning of our marriage, Swami called that, I want another Swara people, you please bring somebody. And you also come for the marriage.
Live music.
Yes. Because he had to come from Bombay only 2 days before, you know, all
they
the
really
elements.
Played the father completely.
Yes, yes.
But yours was not the only marriage he performed in the family.
No, many marriages.
Seven weddings.
Much later,
uh-huh,
much later. This was the first one, 74.
You have a family history of Swami doing everything.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Maybe must have done a lot of punya in our earlier births, you know. And today I shudder to think, but for Swami, what would have happened to us? What would have happened to our family? And that day, another instruction from Swami came to me, which took a different turn in my life. Because I thought after my arrest, Swami will leave me and I will go to Middle East, start my career or do something as an engineer. He said, you should not go anywhere. You should work here only, in India, near your house, enough. I don't want you to go anywhere.
Sai Ram, dear listener, you just heard part one of our Tryst with Divinity interview with Mr. Nagesh Dakappa, the state president of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization of Karnataka. Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai. from 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sai Ram, and welcome back to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India. Today is the 9th of December 2014 and the time in Prashanthi Nilayam right now is 10:24 a.m. I hope you enjoyed that part one of the Trisva Divinity conversation with Mr. Nagesh Dhakappa. We would love to hear back from you. Your feedback matters very much. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Now, dear sisters and brothers, just so you know, there are two more parts to this interview, and it really gets better as it goes on. I hope you can join me right here on Morning Glory over the next two Thursdays, as I will bring you the remaining two parts of this conversation right here. You can also listen to it on Tuesday mornings and evenings on Asia Stream of RadioSai.org under our Tryst with Divinity series. And just to avoid any confusion, Tryst is our series of interviews with Baba's devotees. And Fleeting Moments, which is Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories, is the series with Baba's students, that is the alumni of his schools and colleges. Now, our next presentation on Morning Glory is Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories interview. And this one is with three sisters who attended Anantapur College. But before we go there, let me remind you, dear sisters and brothers, that if there is one place on the face of planet Earth that oozes serenity, is safe and clean and comfortable, where a mother awaits you with open arms, a place where the mind is at peace and the heart is at home, it is this paradise called Prashanthi Nilayam. And Saturday, January 11th happens to be the annual sports and cultural meet of the Sai schools, colleges and university. And this is where you must be this coming weekend. The Divine Mother will embrace you into her loving arms and shower upon you her abundant blessings. It's time to come home. You will come, won't you? And if you can't, oh, that's so sad, but we understand how hard that is for you. So we have provided for your virtual participation in this joyful event. All you got to do is to log on to www.radiosai.org and watch the event live on our home page. We will bring you the live webcast so that you can see and hear all that is happening here as it is happening here in real time. With that tutorial on Radio Sai web streaming, I'm now pleased to play for you a brand new episode of Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories with my Anantapur College sisters, Padma, Harita and Indra Mansa. Please enjoy. Sai Ram, dear listeners, today Radio Sai is pleased to bring you a very special episode of Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with the former students of Sai schools and universities. From the years 1980 to 1996, four daughters of the Vijayapurappu family of Bhadrachalam, Andhra Pradesh, studied at Sri Sathya Sai Baba's College at Anantapur, Andhra Pradesh. Today, three of the four sisters are here to share just a few of their many precious experiences with Swami over the decades. And these span from their student days till the present day when one of them is constantly receiving Sai bliss and guidance. Let me begin by introducing the three of them who are here today, namely V. Padma, Indra Mansa and Harita Krishna. V. Padma, being the oldest of the four sisters, spent 5 years at Anantapur from 1980 to 85, where she completed her intermediate studies, which is grades 11 and 12, and her bachelor's in science, studying math, physics and chemistry. She went on to earn her master's in science, that is in physics, MSc Physics, from the Andhra University in Vizag in Andhra Pradesh, and she completed her MSc Physics in 1988. Currently, Padma lives in Hyderabad, and she has about 20 years of work experience as a physics lecturer at college level. She is also a mother of two young adults, both boys. Padma is also an active member of the Kachiguda Sai Samiti at Hyderabad. Sai Ram, Padma, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, Karuna Didi.
Also with us is Padma's sister Indra Mansa, who completed her intermediate and bachelor's of commerce degree from the Anantapur campus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning from the years 1984 to 1989. Indra Mansa continued her master's in commerce and also attained professional membership at the Institute of Cost and Works Accountants of India. She has worked both in the corporate and teaching side of industry in India as well as abroad. She is again a mother of two children, and currently she lectures in accounting and taxation in Melbourne, Australia, in the higher education / university sector. Indra also serves as the spiritual coordinator at the Box Hill Sai Centre in Melbourne, Australia. Sai Ram Indra, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram Karuna Didi.
And finally, we have Harita Krishna, the youngest of the four sisters. Harita studied intermediate and BSc Maths honors at the Anantapur campus of the Sai University between the years 1991 and 1996. She went on to earn her MBA from the University of Liverpool, UK. Harita has worked in the IT industry for over 12 years, of which 9 plus years have been in the US. Harita is a mother of a 9-year-old daughter, and currently she's a Balvikas guru at the East Bangalore Center. Sai Ram Harita.
Sai Ram Karuna Didi.
Let's start with Padma. Padma, you were a pioneer in your family. You started this tradition of all four girls studying at Baba's College. Let's start with the most precious lessons you have received from Baba during your 5 years at Anantapur.
My humble pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Baba. Didi, we have received many lessons and had different experiences at Anantapur. One that really stands out is an interview that we got when we were in the final year, that is in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
We were most fortunate and we felt so blessed that Swami has told us many fine points during that interview, which each and every girl must remember. Especially the key points which I feel to date that I really cherish in my heart are where Swami stressed on the virtues of womanhood and the need to follow our traditional values, especially the decent attire, the way we talk, or the way we conduct ourselves, wherever, in whichever place, not laughing aloud, and always wear a gentle smile on our face. Swami told us that we must keep our homes neat and clean, as Goddess Lakshmi resides in such places. He emphasized this point a lot. And before we step out to fix the world outside, we must keep everything perfect at home in every aspect.
Very beautiful practical advice, isn't it?
He also told us that after our graduation, some of us may go for higher studies or get married. Especially he told this to the students who are getting married, because he's like a mother, universal mother to all of us, and we always feel that we are his daughters. So he said he especially stressed that we must take good care of our in-laws and treat them well and to adjust according to the circumstances. This interview happened in 1985. And even today in 2013, Swami's message holds true in my life. For example, I'll just give a small experience which happened in September 2013. I would like to share this experience.
Sure.
I had offered some plantains as prasad at the altar for our daily prayers to our dear Lord Sai. And my mother-in-law, who is about 8 years old, I usually give her some dates, that is khajur, for strength. After the bhajan and the arati, she asked me to give some sugar candy, that is mishri. I was very busy at that time and I told her that I'll give you later, ma, when I am a little free. Then suddenly, after an hour's time, I get a phone call from my sister in Australia and she tells me that, Padma, Swami asked me to convey this message to you. Swami does not take prasad in the form of dates. He also wishes some sugar candy.
Hmm.
Then really I was so stunned, I was shocked, because God didn't accept the plantains which I gave him as prasad. He felt that the real prasad, the true prasad, was which I have offered to my mother-in-law.
In the form of the dates.
So he told, what she asked me, sugar candy, he expected that. So immediately I came to know that I must do any work asked by anybody promptly and attend to the needs promptly.
And he was accepting the prasadam in the form of your mother-in-law.
Yes. This is what. So then my hairs were just standing, and I immediately rushed to the kitchen. I searched all the bottles, and then I found some sugar candy and I gave it to my mother-in-law, who was very, very pleased. So here I just want to tell that Swami always, he accepts prasad, means the true prasadam which we offer is for others. And not just the one which we keep it at the altar in front of the photographs.
Yeah, because others are living God, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. So that's why we always must follow his principle, love all, serve all. So this was the second experience which I remembered from this interview which he granted us in the year 1985, which to this date it holds very precious in my heart.
I can imagine it is still as relevant as it was in 85.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I do just have the same memories as I was sitting in front of Swami, very close to him those days. And then, this happened in November 2012, uh-huh. Where till now I just, like, we had the bountiful blessings of Swami every time, like Pad Namaskar and all, which most of us have received. But then the first materializations in the form of padukas and a golden coin, Lakshmi coin, was given to me in the year November 2012 by one of my friends, Katyayani, from the Kachiguda Samiti, where I recently joined them. So, in their samiti, there was an elderly person whom I didn't know, neither did he know me.
Mm-hmm.
So, he happened to go attend a Rudrabhishekam in a remote village in Adilabad. And when he picked up the flowers after the Rudrabhishekam, he could find something heavy in his hand in the form of padukas and a gold coin, which he thought that they were for him. But then when he closed his eyes, he got a message, like where he saw my face, it seems. That's what he told to the Kachiguda Samiti. And then Katyayani handed over those to me, where I was very, very excited.
How did they know whose face he was seeing? Did he know, if he didn't know you?
He told me he saw my face.
So when they just picked these flowers, Padma, they felt something inside the flowers and they were padukas?
Yeah, he felt something inside.
Well, how big are these padukas?
Small ones.
Like maybe my little finger?
Yeah, little
finger. So about 2 inches, 3 inches?
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Little finger. And then there was a Lakshmi coin.
So that came to you like Swami's prasadam.
Yes, yes.
Nice reminder, he's always thinking of
and,
you.
And actually in all these years I didn't receive any such things. This is the first time that in November 2012 that somebody comes and tells, these are for you. Then I felt truly blessed.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, that's the thing. And so I always feel Swami's presence guiding us and motivating us to do good things to the society. And mainly we must follow all his ideals, what he has set us. And then we have to abide by his wishes that we must be good children, Sai students.
Very true. Thank you very much, Padma. Sairam Harita.
Sairam Karuna Didi.
Let's start with your story of Satyasai. It began in your childhood, obviously.
Yes. So firstly, my most humble pranams at the lotus feet of my Hridayavasi, Sri Satyasai. I feel blessed indeed to get this opportunity to share my experiences. My journey with Bhagwan that I vividly remember started when I was as little as 3. My grandparents and parents adored several forms of God. However, even as a 4-year-old, I was most attracted to Baba because he always answered my little wants and prayers in an instant, like I found my social homework book or something in an instant, you know. Mm-hmm. So all my little wants, I would want a lollipop and then somebody out of the blue would come and give me a lollipop. So whenever I uttered Sai Ram, things would happen like magic as a little girl. The name Sai Ram had become something very dear to me as a child. I also used to address Baba as Annaya, that means elder brother, as we didn't have own brothers.
So four girls. So
We were all girls. So we
Swami was a brother. Mine too. So count me in.
Okay, so nice. So all my three elder sisters studied at the Anantapur campus, and I had a deep yearning to study in Baba's college as well. So the years that I cherished the most were those golden years at Anantapur campus. My elder sister Aruna had just graduated that summer in 1991 when I got admission in my first year of intermediate. I recall my first day at the Anantapur campus in June 1991. I was excited that I got admission into Baba's college, but at the same time, being the youngest in our family and being well pampered, I was really very, very homesick. It was my first day, and that afternoon my room senior came and she patted me and she said, okay, this is Baba's place, you'll be happy. But nothing would, you know, make me feel happy. I was very, very sad.
Were you crying a lot?
I wasn't crying, but you could see on, could tell on my face. I was all like really, really low and, you know, blown up. Then that afternoon with all the homesickness, I prayed to Baba and just laid down for a nap. But as soon as I woke up, that was my first, very first day in the hostel. So as soon as I woke up, something strange happened. All the anguish vanished like just magic. And everything seemed so much like home to me. And that was a very small miracle for many people, but for me it was so important for my 5 years.
So all that fear was just disappeared?
It just disappeared.
Your state of mind was different.
Yes, exactly. And I felt so light.
Oh, nice.
Just how can one nap make me feel so light? I don't know. But I felt really very light. So now it was my first week at the Anantapur campus in June 1991 when one of my junior inter MPC classmates asked me, Harita, I came from a non-devotee family. I believe that Sai Baba is a good social worker and I hear stories and miracles from others. I'm doubtful whether to believe him as God or not. You know what? My spontaneous answer, even I was just in junior inter, I just came. It was my first week.
You were like hardly 16 years old?
Yes. And it was a spontaneous answer that came to me. I said, why doubts? Why read somebody's miracles and stories and try to believe and not or whatever? Believe in Satya Sai Baba only if you have a direct experience with him and if he has touched your heart. I just told that straight. And she was like, okay, okay. And then just within 2 days, it was in the very same week, my first week at Anantapur, just within 2 days, she comes running to me and she grabs my hand and she says, Harita, I have such an astonishing personal experience with Baba that I cannot leave him. And she wouldn't disclose. She said, okay, tell me what it is. And she says, like, no, it's very, very personal. I just can't tell. But then she was instantly, her family and everybody were non-devotees. Like, in an instant, she had become an ardent devotee of Swami. And that
after
was
after you spoke those wise words for a 16-year-old.
Well, again, it was him who...
Speaking through you, obviously.
It was a time for her to get into his fold. That could have been possible.
Of course.
So everything in Anantapur, like, including Jayama Madam, Pushpa Madam, Purna Madam, everybody, whomever I met at the campus had something deep that I could learn from. So I finished my first week. So now it was my first interview with Bhagwan in 1991 in Prashanta Nilayam as a student. So Baba clearly asked us this question, like we were all, you know, sitting in Prashanti Mandir. In the prayer hall. Very, you know, informally, and Swami had come. There was a lot of silence in the room and Swami suddenly asked us this question, who is a man? Then, like many seniors, they prompted me. They said, okay, Harita, say a man should be like a man. I was all different answers. Each one of us were chorusing in our own way, man is someone, this man is not an animal and someone. Then I was still standing there and Swami straight looked into my eyes and he said, Manavadu anaga vishwasam galavadu. That means man is the one who's endowed with faith. And he said, Baba stressed on Atma Vishwasam, that is faith in our own self.
So the definition of man is one who has self-confidence or faith in himself
or
herself.
Yes, that is exactly, yes. Yeah. That is what Swami said in our first...
And obviously he meant it in a gender-neutral sense. Uh-huh. Man is as in Manava, he says, it applies to men and women.
Yes, yes. So I still have the faith, no matter... There's always ups and downs in life, but no, even after I passed out of the campus. But every time I have that one faith that even if nobody is there in your life, there is always someone whom you can always, you know, just cling on to, and that is Baba.
Of course.
That one feeling that, he is there, is enough to keep us going.
Your Anaya, is that what you call
it? Yes, Anaya. That was actually a secret, but I just had to tell it here because it was something very close to my heart.
Of course.
Yep.
And it was one more interview in Prashanti again Mandir, when we were all sitting here. The song was sung by my seniors, and again we had also sung the song for Swami.
Which one?
This Thalli Vinivi Tandri Vinivi Challaga Karuninche Daivamunivi Thalli Vinivi కాలిలోన దీపములా ఉన్నామయ్యా నీ చాలి వల్లనే వెలుగుచున్నామయ్యా. The instant we sang this verse, Swami paused as he said,
what does it mean though?
So, see, తల్లి వినివే తండ్రి వినివే,
mother and father.
When we said గాలిలోన దీపములా ఉన్నామయ్యా is we have like a lamp in the air, and నీ జాలి వల్లనే వెలుగుచున్నామయ్యా is we are glowing because of your karuna, right?
Because of your compassion.
Yes, because of your compassion. But Swami interrupted and he said, Meer galilona deepamula yeppudu undaru. You will never be like a swaying lamp in the air.
You'll be a firm flame.
He said that you're never alone.
You're not wavering. You won't waver.
He said that you'll never be tossed by any wind.
Oh.
We said that we are being tossed in the wind, but we are glowing because of you.
Okay.
But Swami didn't want that toss, that initial thing also, he didn't want it. He said that no.
Such a mom.
Such a mom. Yes, he is. He is. He's a wonderful mother. And when you said mother, it reminds me of another interview in Vrindavan. Yeah. When Swami says that, yes, love of thousand mothers. It's possible that we are able to fathom only a small, tiny droplet from his immense, whatever, vast ocean, mighty ocean. But that small droplet is what we are able to fathom and feel so much in our heart, is what I feel. So now, it was Dasara of 2002 in Birmingham, Alabama.
USA. So this is much later, you were already married?
Yes,
and
I
working?
Was married. And I was working in Birmingham, Alabama. I was working for Bell South. My husband and I, we both were working at the same place. My husband's name is Maruti Srinivas. So my husband headed ahead of me and I was following him. He was driving in his car and I was driving in my car. I happened to just come out of the Bell South office at Colonnade Parkway. And I had a Baba's Abhaya Hasta sticker on the driver's left window of my Toyota Camry. Every day I would pray before I would start driving. As soon as I drove out of my office parking lot and waited at the stop sign that afternoon, I pushed off without noticing a car that was speeding from the left. Like, I had to stop and I had to take a left. So there was a speeding car which was coming.
And it didn't stop at
and
the...
It was coming at 60 miles per an hour speed.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been my fault that I did a rolling stop. Probably I didn't stop and really wait or something of that sort. But I just moved on. And this car, which was speeding at around 60 miles, maybe it's like roughly 80 kilometers per hour, it just straightened, banged into my car when I actually fell unconscious. The car was fully crushed, overturned, tilted and stood against a tree. That is what spectators told me because I was unconscious. I don't know how. So then the paramedics rushed me to the emergency. Only when I regained my consciousness did I realize that even though the car had completely overturned, my Sai Jagan Mata had saved me without a scratch.
Wow.
Yes. There was not a single scratch.
No broken bones?
No broken bones, no scratch, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Everybody were astonished. Even my boss, everybody who had come out the colony. Car stood against the tree trunk. It was fully overturned, crushed. It was totaled. So you know what? Then a few days back, later when I went to the salvage yard to see my car, tears broke down from my eyes because I didn't know that. I thought, okay, I was saved because I didn't see the condition of the car. Only when I went to the salvage yard to, you know, take if something was left inside the car to pick whatever, the only thing, Swami's sticker on the window was just intact. So I just tried to peel that and I just took Swami's sticker back with me. And I profusely, what could I say? I just thanked him. And now, over the years, I still cling on to Swami's feet. And right now, I quit my job. I'm having a passion to do more Swami Seva. Because in IT, it's like, you know, there are no specific hours. And both of us, both husband and I, we have, you know, nobody to spend time with kids. And no time to do other Seva that I have a passion for. So after quitting, I'm able to focus on Balvikas. And I have 25, 30 children coming. And they are very encouraged. And that is one thing that I'm able to offer a small prasad to Baba. So that's what it is.
So much gratitude to give.
That Swami is making it happen.
Mm, beautiful.
Thank you for sharing that. So obviously all four of you sisters, of whom three are here, you're very intensely and closely connected with Baba, and you have such an attachment to him. He means the world in your lives. He's the center of your lives. Let's talk to Indra Mansa. Indra, Sairam.
Sairam, Didi.
Tell me, once after this kind of physical proximity with Swami and so many beautiful experiences, how did you handle the Mahasamadhi?
I offer my most humble salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Baba. Well, post April 2011, most of us, his devotees and students, and all those who have witnessed the glories of his avatarhood and his pure love, are very sad and lost. There's a big void of missing him physically, and this feeling is almost indescribable for most of us. Like, it can't be expressed in words. He's the head of our families and he rules our hearts and minds. I cried every day for him almost and longed to see him like most of us did. It was more of an internalization happening at that time because we were so used to his darshan, sparshan and sambhashan. And it's just the memories, we are just reliving the memories each day as it goes. So that was it. Like even today we feel like, you know, we're not able to have his physical darshan and proximity to the Lord in the ways that we used to have.
But what about the inner connection? That is what, after losing the physical, wasn't that an opportunity to develop a stronger inner connection?
Exactly, but for 2 years it was a total loss for all of us. And I pray that our beloved Swami speaks through me, and with his divine guidance and blessings, I'll be able to narrate whatever I'm experiencing since July 2013.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he has very compassionately said that Pilupu vachinadi kabatti paluku, meaning now that the time has come and whatever you're experiencing, if you want to tell, you tell it now. It all started in July 2013 in the Glen Waverley suburb where I reside with my family in Melbourne. On a fine afternoon after I just came back from work, I was having a cup of coffee and checking my email very casually sitting at my computer desk. I could hear a very sweet voice ringing in my ears. It was singing in Telugu. And as I'm narrating this, I'm sure many of you might think that I've gone crazy or imagining things, or, you know, there's a hallucination. And you're right in thinking so, because I thought exactly the same and pinched myself to see if I could still hear his voice. And yes, to my amazement, I continued to hear this divine voice. And instantly I could recognize Swami's voice. I could and I can hear his voice, a very sweet voice in Telugu. And to give you a little bit of background, my mother tongue is Telugu, but I cannot write or speak the language in a fluent manner, as I had a convent education right throughout my school, collegiate and even higher education. This Telugu was very high-flown, I must say a grandic Telugu or a classic one. He commanded me to pen down his song, which went on like this. So do you want me to...
Yes, please, a little bit of the song.
Thank you. Anaga anaga saishwaruni namamu Vinaga vinaga adi avununu vedamu Tiraskarinchina kadani ananu Veroka namamunu kuda unnadi tattvamu Sadguruni charanamulu veedina poye Yatna prayatnamulu vifalamulaye Sadguruni charanamulu veedina poye Yatna prayatnamulu vifalamulaye కోరిన వారికి దొరుకును అభయము కోరిన వారికి దొరుకును అభయము జన్మతరించును ధన్యుల్లారా అనగానగా సాయీశ్వరుని నామము. సో ఇట్ వెంట్ ఆన్ లైక్ దిస్ అండ్ ఐ వుడ్ మేక్ ఎన్ అటెంప్ట్ టు ట్రాన్స్లేట్ ఇట్ అస్ ఫాలోస్. Though I know to translate it, you know, the English is quite hard for me. But I used to write everything in English because I never knew how to write it in Telugu.
Script.
Yes, except for a few words here and there. The constant repetition or chanting and hearing of Lord Saishwara's name by itself becomes the Veda. The same sweetness is found in other names of God, that is the same Tattva. We have to cling to the Lord's feet so that our efforts, whatever we make, spiritual or worldly, all efforts, do not become futile. All those who seek his refuge will be blessed with his grace, and hence their lives are redeemed. This is what I could translate.
So hearing voices is one of the signs of mental health issues. It can be. So did you question yourself or put yourself through a psychiatric assessment? Did you consider the option?
I mean, see, first week it was very intense, Didi. I would get a lot of this outpouring of messages, whether it was Sanskrit, slokas or...
This is not knowledge you had before.
No, not at all. And I was wondering myself, what's happening to me and, whether there are two Indiras here and what's happening. Because I had to continue with my normal routine work, take care of my family, my
and
kids.
And accounting and taxation. And then there was the other Indra talking about Atma and Atma Tattva. Will the real Indra please stand up? Did you ask yourself the question?
Sure. And my husband thought I had gone crazy, really. Mm. And in fact, he told me that, please, Indira, don't connect to all these high forms of energy, because I know several people have gone mad, in the pursuit of this, connecting to higher levels and things like that. I said, I'm not connecting to any level. I'm not in that state. But it's happening. So I just have to take what is coming. And Bhagwan has commanded me to take a pen and a paper so I can hear a voice. And even on Guru Purnima day this year, actually, Swami blessed me by giving me a Guru Bhajan. It goes on like this. Guru Natha Nathaya, Guru Brahma Rupaya. Guru Natha Nathaya, Guru Brahma Rupaya. Jnana Shakti Bhakti, Jyoti Pradipaya. Jnana Shakti Bhakti, Jyoti Pradipaya. Guru Natha Nathaya, Guru Brahma Rupaya. Veda Vedanta Rupa, Veda Sara Vidyaya. Veda Vedanta Rupa, Veda Sara Vidyaya. Nitya Nirmala Nirvikara, Nijarupa Namaskara. Nitya Nirmala Nirvikara, Nijarupa Namaskara. Satya Sai, Satya Sai, Satya Sai Namaskara. Satya Sai, Satya Sai, Satya Sai Namaskara.
So beautiful it sounds. What does exactly mean?
I mean, I almost cried after this, and because I was shedding tears.
Swami was singing this in your ear.
Yes, and another thing happened. Actually, when he commanded me to pen down this song somewhere in the early hours of Guru Purnima day, I was very tired. I was just sleeping. And then I said, Swami, I'll do it in the morning. And morning, I actually forgot all the words and everything. And then I had to seek pardon. I said, Swami, I'm very sorry that I'd done this. Now I'll take it down. And he gave it to me in the next few seconds. And through this experience, I infer that we have to cling on to His feet, especially, the times that we are going through, at all times, in fact.
Literally, what does the song mean, if you go a little bit, if you sum it up?
It's Guru Bhajan, so it's like surrendering to the Guru. And He is all Rupas, the Vedas, and the Jnana Shakti Bhakti that He can endow us with. Okay. And I mean, we have to cling on to His feet to get the Nitya Nirmalatvam. Nirmalatvam is pure heart. Okay. That is without any
blemish.
And not putting conditions of any kind, It is the pure atmic bliss that we can have if we totally surrender to Him. And through this experience, I felt His reassuring hand and continued guidance is with each and every one of us. It's more of an internalization, and I'm sure so many of us, the students, devotees, everyone alike, are experiencing this.
So most of this stuff that you hear is always a message, a divine message. There's nothing personal.
There are personal messages as well.
Apart from these poems or padyams,
yes,
or the bhajans, the reason I ask this,
yes,
a lot of people can claim that Swami is communicating through them.
Right.
And they can sort of pose themselves as mediums. It's a very busy marketplace there. It's very hard to decide which is for real and which is not. And it's a very deeply personal experience.
Right.
So it's to be kept for each person.
Exactly.
And that's why I want to know what you're saying. Is this only for you, or is it like for sharing this experience of Guru Padyam? And
these can be shared. I mean, these are bhajans, so anyone can share these bhajans.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
If somebody asked you, Indra, you're in a state of mind where maybe your own higher consciousness is prompting all this, is coming,
yes,
from, what would you say to them?
I mean, see, because it's Bhagwan's voice, for me, it is my personal experience, so it is more of an internalization for me. I'm so full of it. So it is Swami who is talking to me. It is my personal experience. and it is his sweet voice that I'm hearing.
You recognize Swami's voice?
Yes, and even the Telugu that he speaks. The other day I was just having his Divya Darshan in Prashanthi grounds on the occasion of Christmas, and these are the words he was telling me at that time. There is a constant...
When you were at Mahasamadhi,
what were the words he was telling me? Samadhi to nannu samanam cheyavaddu. Don't make me equal to the samadhi. Samaikyata samadrushti penchukondi. Ade meeku samtruptinistundi. These I immediately told my sisters who were standing behind me in the line, this is what Swami is telling me. So,
what does it mean?
Don't equate me to the samadhi itself, the tomb or the whatever.
The resting place.
Yes, yes. He is everywhere. He is omnipresent. And have an equality of vision. And if you are able to treat everybody alike, that itself will give you contentment.
Mm.
So there are profound messages coming, and I just keep penning them down as they come. It is a high-flown Telugu and Sanskrit which I really don't understand. In fact, I struggle, and sometimes when I pen it down, the thoughts are racing much faster than, you know...
Thoughts are faster than your writing, you mean?
I mean, the language is so high-flown, whether it's Telugu or Sanskrit, it's not my language. And it's going so fast sometimes, like I'm not able to write it as well. I have to connect so well to write it and read it out, and sometimes struggle to even understand the synonyms in Sanskrit or Telugu and go and ask somebody, like, what does this mean? So, but definitely it's not my language.
Okay, since the time you say you've been receiving this guidance from Bhagwan, what has it done for you?
I mean, for me, it's a totally new experience, and it's amazing and incredible that I can feel his presence and hear his voice. It is reassuring and inspiring, very, very reassuring.
I can imagine that.
But at the same time, I'm happy as well, but there are days when there are highs and lows for me, because I really don't know if there are two Indiras here. One who is doing the normal routine works, I have to write down his message and then go and attend to my daughter with her homework or something like that. So I really don't know. So I'm still in an initial state of receiving all this. And hopefully Bhagwan will guide me through it and give me the courage to, you know, compile this experience of mine, which I'm sure many others are experiencing as well.
Did you ever have such an internal connection with Swami prior to this episode when it began in the summer of 2013?
Not at all. It was just like I would cry or I would pray like any other...
Just out of the blue, it began.
I would sing bhajans, but not like this, like where someone is constantly, you know, talking in a sweet voice and recognize Swami's voice. And it's sometimes pure bliss as well.
Mm.
Yes, and I would like to end this with a Krishna bhajan.
Is this yours or did it come in your ear?
Yes, it has come in my ear on the occasion of Krishnashtami.
Swami sang it?
Yes, he will say that he will give me the bhajan and the next minute it will flow.
Okay, with the tune and he sings it out for you.
Yes, everything, so sweet, very sweet. Sri Vatsa Kaustubha Manihari, Sri Vatsa Kaustubha Manihari, Sri Chakradhari, Sri Murari, Sri Chakradhari, Sri Murari, Sri Tulasi Priya Vana Vihari, Sri Tulasi Priya Vana Vihari, Gopi Ganalola Giridhari, Gopi Ganalola Giridhari, Mandasmita Mukha Murali Lola Keshava Murahari Gopala, Keshava Murahari Gopala.
Sounds beautiful. How do you remember the tune? Do you take the notations or do you record it on your computer so that you will be able to recall the tune? What do you do?
I have an iPhone, so quickly I just record it, take the sound recorder and write the words quickly. But it's amazing, unbelievable. And
so now that you've experienced what you've experienced, who do you think Bhagwan Sri Satyasai Baba is?
He's God for all of us.
He was God for you before the Mahasamadhi?
He was.
And then why did you cry so much when he was gone from the body?
I mean, see, only before his Mahasamadhi people said, okay, he's omniscient, omnipresent, you know. But now I feel you can see it in reality. It is happening all over the place.
It was even then. We never used to be always in the... It's not like we all had breakfast, lunch and dinner with Swami always in the interview room.
But
we did experience his grace, divinity, intervention whenever we prayed or thought of him.
Yeah. But as students, and you know, we did experience the physical proximity to him. Like I would come every year, though in Melbourne, to have his darshan almost once or twice in a year. So used to his physical darshan. Like in 2011, I was coming and I saw the bleak, the bland hills and the mountains and the valleys of Parthi. I was in tears right from the place, from Dharmavaram itself. So we had the craving to have him physically around. But now, once again, I'm reassured that he's with us all the time and he has not left us. We just have to call out and he's there to respond to our innermost prayers, whatever it is.
Beautiful. Now, Indra, Swami speaks to all of us in a million ways. Swami said, you know, all mouths are his.
Yes.
So, for example, I don't hear anything in my ear, but some days when I'm sort of a little bit lost and I walk into my office, maybe my colleague says something that I need to hear, or I wake up in the morning with a bit of confusion in my head and I open my computer and the first Sai Inspire's message, it seems like he's directly speaking to me. So, why is your experience of any great significance in light of the fact that all of us have direct ability to connect directly with Swami, don't you think so?
Sure, Didi. Till now, I knew Swami's teachings only at an intellectual level. That is, you know, that's theoretically there in your head.
Of course, of course.
Now, with this first-hand experience, I stay fully awake to his continuous presence within me. And that is actually making me more obedient to Swami's teachings.
A good impact it's having then.
Yes, yes.
Yeah?
And because it's a self-transforming journey.
I understand.
And now I'm even more aware or conscious of Bhagwan's infinite powers, his endless glory and his divine sweetness. Truly no one can ever fully grasp Bhagwan's divinity. For now, all I want is just to relish this bliss of this unexpected experience and live a very pure, honest life that our beloved divine chancellor taught all of us. And I simply surrender to his glory. And I'm so very grateful, and I also feel very humbled by this entire experience.
Hmm.
And if this can happen to me, it can happen to anybody else. And Swami is within everyone's reach, and everyone has their own direct connection with their Lord.
Well said. Indra Mansa, Padma and Harita, thank you so very much for joining us on Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. I'm sure you've given all our listeners a lot of stuff to think about.
Thank you, Didi.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Thank you.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, on the 9th of December, 2014. You just heard a Fleeting Moments interview with three sisters, Padma, Harita and Indra. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did while recording it. Dear listeners, please do send in your feedback to this interview. And as always, you can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. And please don't forget that day after tomorrow, that is Saturday, is the big day for thousands of Sai students participating in the annual sports and cultural meet here at the wonderful venue, the Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium, Prashanthi Nilayam. Just log on to radiosai.org and you can connect to the Divine Celebrations of Prashanthi Nilayam live and watch the events in real time as they are happening thanks to our web streaming. At Radio Sai, we feel blessed and honored to serve the Sai in you by offering you this digital connection to Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place in the world. And now it's time for audio engineer Ganesh and I to offer morning glory at Bhagwan's divine lotus feet and bid you Sai Ram. I will leave you to enjoy Radio Sai's New Year's offering at the lotus feet. This poem was penned by none other than God during his recent visit to earth in the form of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. It is presented in its current form by Radio Sai's creative team consisting of Chandu Vijay, Deepjeet and Anirudh S. on the vocals, Hari Gurtz on the percussion, and Dhananjaya Shet is the genius behind the mixing and the mastering. It's yours to enjoy right now, and till we meet next Thursday, please be well, keep longing for God, and stay inspired. Sai Ram.